This last summer, we had Haley and Maggie and Isaac went to the Philippines to see our ministries in the Philippines. A lot of you are saying, where? What? Huh? And I want to tell you really quick about it. The fact is that we have not just ministries here, not a ministry at ISU, but we have three campus ministries in the Philippines. And it's a long story. We'll probably fill you in later as time goes on. But it's exciting to know that right now, as we're worshiping on this side of the planet, there is three encounter ministries on the other side of the planet who are just getting up in the morning. Isn't that cool? And when we get up tomorrow morning, you can think they're gathering and they're worshiping like we are. It's just really, really awesome, and it's really a beautiful thing. And so what I would love for you to, the only reason I tell you that for right now is I'd love for you to know about that, to know that we are connected to those ministries there, and we support them. And in the Philippines, I mean, there ain't a whole lot of money, and there's probably a lot more need than we probably even know. But they don't need much, and it's pretty cool. I had our staff stand up here week one. I said, hey, they don't make a lot of money because they're called to this thing. And you want to talk about a group of people that are called? I mean, these people are our staff in the Philippines are eating fish heads and rice. And they're awesome. So we have Arnold, and we have his wife Gigi. We have Ronald. We have a guy named Marty. These are some very, very wonderful people that we want to continue to support. So what we do every week, and we're going to start that tonight, is we take these KFC buckets. It's kind of funny. They have Kentucky Fried Chicken's like a big deal there. And so I kind of find it interesting that we've just picked up these KFC buckets because it's about the only thing that really has the shape that was pretty much free. And we can pass these along. And just remember, every time you see the KFC bucket, you are contributing to our fellow campus ministries, encounter ministries in the Philippines. Cool? And if you're just visiting and you're like, I don't really, hey, no pressure. No pressure at all. But if you'd like to give to that, let's just pass those buckets wherever they're at around, and we can do that. All right. Hey, will you pray with me before we start? And we'll just really invite the Lord into this place. Jesus, pretty excited about tonight. I feel very strongly that you have something big for us to all hear and to learn and to understand from your word. Thank you for teaching me some things this week that became more clear to me, and I appreciate how your word guides and directs and teaches and is always challenging me, and I pray that same challenge would come through tonight as we become your church, as we really establish what our community is going to look like here around Jesus this year. I ask, God, that you teach us the lessons we need to learn so that this can be the most effective ministry and community for your kingdom this year. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've been with us, if you haven't been with us, I'm glad you're here. And we want you to know you're always welcome here. And I'm expecting, and I am going to preach each week in a way that expects that there's going to be new people here. We're in a series called Expect It. And our first week was we're going to expect miracles. We're going to expect that God's going to do things that we can't do. And we're going to expect that when we put Jesus in the center of a room, he has a way of really changing each of us. The second week we talked about, this was last week, we all had a rock. You guys remember that? We came in here and you had a rock, and we talked about having a safe place. And that it is important for Jesus to do his best work. We need to have a place that's safe. And so we dropped our rocks. We said, you know, hey, whoever it is I normally am inclined to throw a stone at, I am going to let that go because it is all about Jesus in this place. And whoever needs to come, we're going to allow this to be a safe ground for people to come. And a safe ground with Jesus in the center, oh boy, look out. God's going to do some pretty cool things. And this is the way I look at life. This is the way I look at the church. And I think it's a real simple way of looking at the church, and it's always been kind of the way I've purely looked at the church. But we all know that this is not a pure place, right? And no matter how pure all of our intentions are, there is something that happens when we get a group of people like this together in a room. We get in the way. Now, I was raised in the church. Some of you may have not been. And so I'm going to give you a sneak peek into what it looks like to be in the church. When you're in the church, you get to look and you say, yeah, this whole thing seems to be set up very, very cleanly. Jesus in the center and we're all coming in. This is how I see Jesus. Jesus is like a circle around him. The community of God, the church, is like a circle around him. And I picture it like this. Everybody comes from a different place. Some people are coming from maybe a real church background, and some people are coming from a real broken background. Some people are coming from a lot of pain, and some people are coming from a lot of confusion. But it's a circle. And it doesn't matter where you came from, Jesus is in the center. And it's just, it creates the safe ground where it ends up forming this perfect circle of all of us from different backgrounds coming into this one spot. And it's just like, let's sing this old hymn, Kumbaya, and let's go home. This is beautiful, right? That's what it feels like. But you know that's not true, because when you get a group together, things start happening that you didn't anticipate, and here's a couple of them. This is what's happened for me. I was raised in the church, and I'd see the pastor saying something that wasn't quite in line with what the elders were saying, which wasn't quite in line with my Sunday school teacher, which wasn't quite in line with this book I was reading, which wasn't at all in line with what scripture I was reading. And I was like, this is confusing. This church is confusing. And some of you know what I'm talking about. And I could go into great detail as to how that all kind of looks, but the church can really get confusing because people are confusing. And I want to do my best to try to eliminate that tonight, that we would be people that are focused on one simple thing, that Jesus is in the center of a safe room. That's really what I want us to grasp here tonight. Let's take a look at our scripture. I think there's three different lessons that I think we can learn as a people, as a group. Jesus was it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he's up on this mountainside and he's preaching to 5,000 people. I actually got to see this place where Jesus preached, where he stood at the bottom, like by this lake, and there's this big embankment right there next to Capernaum. And Jesus could project. It was kind of cool. You can go down there and see there's like this natural amphitheater built into the side of this mountain. And you speak, and something about the water behind you and then this natural amphitheater, you can just speak to all these people. So Jesus chose that spot, preached to 5,000, and he preached this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. The greatest sermon ever preached. We might want to take a peek at it. You know what I'm saying? Now, there's just a little part of the sermon, but there's a big part. But this section right here, I think, speaks directly to the issue that I'm talking about, how we as people get this thing confused. Okay? Let's start reading right here. It says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." That makes sense, right? I mean, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I mean, it's self-preservation. This is a good idea, right? "But I tell you," oh shoot, Jesus comes up with something different. "I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." In other words, it doesn't matter if you're good or evil, righteous or unrighteous, you're going to get sun, you're going to get rain. God's impartial. God doesn't see lines. We like to create lines. We like to protect ourselves. We like to say, hey, I'm in the circle. This is the line. You're out. I'm in. Protection. Right? That's what we like to do. And Jesus says, no. If you're going to be a child like me, if you're going to be like a children of your Father in heaven, then you need to do this. You need to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Here's point number one. Jesus' idea of the circle. Tonight we're going to talk about a circle. It's all about the circle. Jesus' idea of the circle is it's always expanding, not self-protecting. Jesus' idea of the circle is that it is always expanding. Always expanding. it is easy for us to name enemies and to say, no, you can't come in. And Jesus is saying, no, pray for them. Pray for them because I'm in the center and I want the whole dang world to come in. Even the people that you don't like. Even the people that you might be persecuting you. I want them in. If they're persecuting you, here's what I'm asking you to do. Pray for them. Here's a lesson I learned. I came to ISU 19 years ago. 18 and a half years ago. Who's counting? And some of you have heard before, I had 8 students. These 8 students didn't have a campus minister for 1 year before I came. And you know what their goal was? Don't die. Don't die. They locked arms and they faced inward and they said, not on our watch, we're not going to die and we're going to be just like us and we're going to be self-protected and we're not going to let those bad people in. We're not going to let this evil stuff in. We're going to protect ourselves. We're going to protect ourselves. You know, they did. They protected themselves, but they ended up looking just like each other at the end. It was really gross. And here's what I mean. Like, not necessarily. So in some ways, they kind of dress the same. They talk the same. And this is, I mean, I'm going way back. This is 19, 20 years ago, right? They all watched the Dukes of Hazzard. I'm not kidding. I walked in. I was like, all of you guys are watching the same old TV show. I can't believe what ended up happening. It's ugly when people self-preserve in circles. I got to see the opposite of that a few years later. On September 11th, 2001. You guys remember? You were 5 or 6, right? And you remember there was that awful day where they attacked the Twin Towers. Was it 01 or 02? 02. 01. Okay, I was right. Good. I had a couple confusing looks. I got the date right. September 11th. We know this. And 01. And it was an awful day. It was a confusing day. But you know what was awful? Really, really most memorable about it for me, extra memorable, not most memorable, but what especially made it memorable for me, that was on an encounter night. We actually had this meeting on campus the night of September 11th. And I had a sermon ready to go. I mean, I was ready to preach. And somebody suggested, this is bigger than anything we're doing. We need to just pray. And so we put up these signs that said, just come pray. We're going to cancel everything. I'll just come pray. And we went to the Cape and Auditorium, and there was like 600-700 people showed up. It was crazy. Amazing group of people came. And we're praying, and you know, it's those times where you kind of want to put up a wall and say, this is an awesome circle, isn't it? Let's protect ourselves, and let's. And the prayers were a lot about, God, don't let those attackers come to the Midwest. And I mean, it was a scary day. And this scripture came to my mind, and at the end of our meeting, I said, This might be awkward for some of you, but I really feel like it might be God's will for us to pray for our enemies tonight. And I said, if you don't feel like praying for enemies, that's okay. But we're going to go out onto the quad, and we're going to pray for our enemies. And we went out on the quad, and we're going to make a circle. Now, do you guys know anything about how, like, 10 people in a room doesn't look like much, but once you all hold hands, it's like, holy cow, there's a lot of us here. It's like spreads out, right? And I guarantee you, a couple hundred people like this, you spread that out, it's huge, huge circle. I'm not kidding. We had 700-plus people. And we went out to pray on the quad. And immediately, I'm realizing I made a mistake. We had such a big circle. It was the whole, almost the whole quad. It was such a big circle that my voice couldn't project loud enough for everyone to hear. And we just kind of prayed in silence. And it was kind of a neat ending. And Robbie's here, and Robbie was with us that night. And I remember we just kind of all came together. There was like a little band playing, and we all came together. came to this one spot, and Robbie gave a little no Jesus talk, and it was awesome. It was followed by some other dude that wasn't so awesome, but that was all right. But here's the lesson that I learned. Here's the picture I want you to get. When you are trying to protect your circle, it will shrink to the size of 8 people that love the Dukes of Hazzard. When you pray for your enemies, you don't have any idea how big that circle can get. The biggest prayer circle I've ever experienced on this campus in almost 20 years was a prayer circle that was praying for Bin Laden. That's awesome. Jesus knew what he was talking about. Circles need to expand, not protect. Second point. He says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? That's our second point. Our second point, I had it worded well, and I was going to go without notes. Dang it! Got to find my note here. What was my second point? Be proactive, not reactive. Be proactive, not reactive. Do you see here? Love those who love. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? We all are easily going to love somebody that first loved us. Well, I'll say hi if you say hi. Well, I'll love you if you love me. And really, God's called us to something more than that. He says, you need to be the initiators. You need to be the proactive ones. Don't react. The church needs to be proactive. The church needs to be the ones that initiate love, not, oh, they're really nice, I guess we'll let them in. Oh, they're really nice, let's just let them come into the circle. That's not Jesus' way. I remember there was one year when this girl came to me. It was like about this time of year, 2 or 3 weeks into the semester. And she came to me and she set up a meeting and she said, I just got to tell you, I think your meetings are biblical. Like she's critiquing it. Like, oh, well, thank you. And I think your worship's fine, but I got to say that your people are really not that friendly. I was like, oh, dang it. I hate it when I hear that. I haven't heard that in a long time, so hopefully we're being friendly. I said, tell me about the experience. What happened? She says, well, it was time to come in and to sing, and between songs we're going to say hi to each other or supposed to say something. And she said, and there was nobody said anything to me. There was a girl on my left. She didn't say anything to me. And there was a girl on my right, and she didn't say anything to me. I said, how long have you been coming? She says, I've only been coming 2 weeks. And on my second week, nobody said anything to me. And I said, I happened to see where you were sitting. Do you know the girl on your left and the girl on your right? It was their first time. You were the one that was here longer than them, and you didn't say hi to them. This really is about you not saying hi to the new person. This isn't about, hey, I'm not feeling welcome. This is not a consumer place. This is a proactive love place. And I'm going to ask you, I don't know how long you've been coming, but I'm just asking you, be a lover, be an initiator, be a giver. Don't wait for people to love you so that you can love this place. Well, I'm just going to wait and see. No, just please, just be a Jesus lover to people around you. Proactive, not reactive. And his last point, he says this, and if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that. I think this is a little different than the point before. It kind of sounds the same, but Jesus kind of opened some things up to my mind, I think, this week, that this really is a bigger deal than just not being proactive or reactive. This is about making other circles. Let me explain. I feel like perhaps the biggest obstacle that people are going to have to getting to Jesus isn't this big circle around Jesus. It's the mini circles that start developing within the big circle. I don't know how to say this exactly. Let's imagine that we have a guy on campus that's like the Ticket Oak. You guys know that commercial, right? He gives free tickets to every... All right. I see Elise saying no. Don't have a clue. Let's imagine that there's a dude here on campus that's just giving out free tickets. To what, you say? Whatever you want. Free ticket to any game that you want to go to any sporting event you want to go to, any concert you want to go to. Free tickets are here. And he says, and I want you to tell all your friends about it. Just bring them in. And you go up and you're like, I want two tickets to the Michigan State game, of course. And he's like, I got two tickets for you. Will someone else come? Well, I want Michigan State too, because that's what everyone wants. And he's just handing out tickets, and then some random person might just be like, you know, I want to see like One Direction or something like that. Yeah, Abby would be the one, right? and they come in and he gives out these tickets, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is really real. It would be amazing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be kind of silly if somebody said, what posture did you take when you took the tickets? Did you get on your knees when you took it? Because I did. Oh, you did? Well, actually, I just stood there. I think it does matter. I think showing that respect and that gratitude and being on your knees when you take it is a big deal. So we got a knee receiving circle versus the standing receiving circle. You see how silly that sounds? How'd you receive Jesus? I came forward. I raised my hand. I was baptized. Which way? How was it? When? What day of the week? What was your posture? Wouldn't it be silly if we said, yeah, I got my tickets, but I also happen to know his motive behind it. Do you know the motive behind why he gave it? Well, no, I don't. Well, let me tell you, there's all kinds of different... If you really knew the character of this guy, you'd really understand that there's like two or three different ways in which you could look at how he gave them, why he gave them. And if we could really understand those differences, then I think, oh, now we start getting circles about, well, I think it's just because he loves us. Well, I think it's just because he likes himself. Or I just think it's because of the... You see what I'm saying? Well, what was your response once you got the tickets? Did you show gratitude in a way that you changed your life? Oh. You know, once we have Jesus in our life, what, did you quit drinking? Did you stop just swearing? Well, maybe, maybe not. Here's the thing. Some people believe that there are exact certain things that you have to do once you receive Jesus. Some people say that, and I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes here, I'm trying to step on all of our toes, okay? Not just one toe, I'm trying to step on all of our toes. Because there are certain groups that say, you know, you have to lose control with your tongue and express yourself to the Lord in a way that allows him to know that it's really real, that you really accepted that. Hey, there's a lot of people that you don't even, some of you don't not even know what that means, and that's okay. Some of you are like, hey, you're offending me. No, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm trying to say, that's cool. But it's not cool when we start making this small circle a bigger deal than the big circle. This is what I really want us to hone in on, because each one of us, if you came from a church, me included, we are bent toward a couple of things that are probably really important to us in our small circle. And I'm asking for us to not make those big deals. Whether it's baptism, Arminianism, Calvinism, whether it's Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or Protestant, we have a tendency to make smaller circles around the big circle. And the big deal is this: Jesus is in the center, and there's one circle. Last point, there is one circle, not many. There is one circle, and it is Jesus' circle. And I want us to be passionate about the one circle this year. And it's okay. Now here's where I don't want us to go to a wrong application. It's okay to challenge each other on certain things and different doctrines, and I think that those are healthy. But do not make your circle a bigger deal than the big circle. And do not recruit only people inside the circle. You know why some of this becomes really dangerous? There's two things I really don't like about it. One is this. One of the dangers of the small circle mentality: I don't spend any of my time outside the outer circle because people in the circle are easier to do Bible studies with. And I can get them to believe like my circle. And so if I can get you to be convinced to be a part of my little circle, well, then all you've done is you've made a smaller thing, but you've taken somebody else in that's already saved, already receiving Jesus, already in this great community, and you're crossing little lines that don't mean much, and both of you are taken out of an opportunity to go out here. Does that make sense? The other thing that really bothers me about it is when people are coming in and you're like, hey, have you talked about this deeper way or this newer thought or this small circle? And they're like, I'm just trying to find my way to Jesus and I haven't met him yet. If this is the first thing they see, Jesus is a lot less attractive, and some of them don't even get to Jesus because they've seen the smaller fragments and the smaller circles are the first thing that the outer people see, and they're not really interested in that. Man, let's let Jesus get in the center of our room. Let's allow that path for people to get to Jesus to be very, very open. That's my big deal. If we greet only, what does it say? If you greet only your own people, see your own people, that what that says to me is that we get a little bit of a high off of getting people to think like us. We get a little bit of a high off of it. And there's a really cool experience of seeing somebody come from a place of not being in a saved relationship where they're not forgiven, and then crossing into that circle and seeing forgiveness, and they see Jesus. Oh my goodness, that's awesome. But there's like fool's gold for some of us by pulling somebody into a newer, smaller little circle that thinks like me. That can't be king. That can't hold water. We need bigger. We need Jesus. Jesus has said all of these things. I really believe. He said, I want this to be bigger, circle, expanding. Be proactive, not reactive. And let's keep it one circle, not multiple circles. Going to start by telling you this. Way back when I was young, and I would get confused, and I'd wonder what the church was about, and I'd see all of this confusion with my pastor and Sunday school teacher and all that stuff I was telling you about. And when I would see that, I just remember thinking, well, maybe I'll go to my sister's church. Well, my sister's church was weirder. My grandma's church was the same. Grandma's churches are always the same. And wherever I went, it just seemed like there was a different flavor. And I remember the one thing that would always ground me was this old hymn. I don't know if it's not a hymn. It's an old chorus, really. Jesus, be the center. You know that song? Jesus, be the center, be my hope, be my light. Jesus. That always seemed to make things clearer for me. Picturing Jesus in the center of that circle. And as I got older, and I experienced things through college myself, here was the crazy realization that I had to come to. I had to come to a crazy realization that what I once hated about the church when I was a kid was exactly what I became. And if I'm being really honest with you, the thing that kept people from Jesus the most in my college time, on my watch, was me and my friends as we critiqued the crud out of every service we ever went to. I don't want that for us. I don't want that for you. I don't want you to feel like you have to understand every little detail. I want you to understand one thing. Jesus is on his throne. He's in this place, and we've made this place safe last week, and we're going to continue to celebrate that as the semester goes on. Cool? Let's pray. God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your word being so clear. We are naturally scared of enemies. We're naturally inclined to run from people who persecute us. It's not natural. It's not natural for us to pray for those people. It's not natural for us to be proactive in our love, especially in a new place like this. A lot of us are new. It's also very much not natural for us to not want to make smaller circles. And I ask, God, that you would do whatever it takes to just make sure that we don't major in those, but we major in the one big deal, and that's being you. And you are your son, Jesus, who died on the cross. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.